Amen. Wonderful hymn. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I won't keep you long this morning, but I do pray the Lord would touch our hearts with this passage of Scripture, for the beauty of it and the comfort of it is beyond measure. John chapter 14, verse 1. Our Lord speaking here, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You know, I've known this passage of Scripture for years. Can't count how many times I've preached on it. But I've never seen it in the light in which I have the last week or so in studying this text. You know, our Lord speaks in our text about a troubled heart. He doesn't say a broken heart. It's a troubled heart. And I believe most of us, if not all of us, besides maybe the youngsters, have lived long enough to understand the difference between a broken heart and a very troubled heart. And our Lord in our text deals with a troubled heart. And even though a troubled heart doesn't carry the same depth of pain and agony like that of a broken heart, yet it does carry its own agonizing torments and vexations. As a matter of fact, a troubled heart possesses a much greater danger and threat to our faith as true believers than that of a broken heart. A troubled heart is very dangerous to faith if it's left alone. A broken heart is so overwhelmed by grief and sorrow that it's often made humble and contrite. You're broke. You're out of strength. You're weak. You tend to lean or draw closer to God because of the grief and sorrow. And the Bible says in Psalm 34, "To such the Lord draws nigh." Yet a troubled heart is like a raging sea of emotions. That's what troubled means. It's tossed about with strong feelings of doubt and of despair and anxiety, even fear and anger. That's a troubled heart. Left alone, like I said, it can severely weaken and threaten all faith in God and His promises. And the text we have this morning is right after our Lord actually caused the disciples to have a troubled heart. He said in chapter 13, He said, "One of you shall betray me. One of you shall deny me thrice. All of you shall forsake me. And where I'm going, you can't go." And then He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." It was our Lord Himself who would bring His disciples to know and personally experience a troubled heart. And you know, I believe that the meaning or His purpose in doing that was because the ministry into which His disciples would be called, like all pastors or ministers, was one which deals with the very hearts and souls of men. Therefore, they which would minister to troubled hearts must first know personally a troubled heart themselves. You ever notice 2 Corinthians says that we comfort others with the same comfort wherefore God hath comforted us? In other words, He said, you're a greater comforter if you've experienced comfort yourself. You ever talk to someone who's went through the same trials and tragedies, sorrows maybe you have? How you bear witness with them and it just seems like you strike it off right off bat. But when you talk to somebody who's never went through that, it's like you're talking to a stranger. They have no idea what you're talking about. So our Lord would personally cause the disciples in chapter 13 to have a troubled heart. "Peter, you're going to deny me three times. You're all going to forsake me. One of you is going to betray me. And none of you can follow me right now where I'm going." Can you imagine the rage or the height of emotion that was going through the disciples' heart and minds at that moment? Let me ask you a question. Let's personalize this. And I hope and pray we've all lived long enough to know something of that pain and agony. But have you ever in your Christian life feel or felt that you've let God down? That you did something wrong? and you don't know how to correct it, or you're afraid of something in life, something has happened and you're filled with anxiety and trouble and doubt and despair. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to face this? This is bothering me. You ever been in that place in your life where you felt a troubled heart? And emotions are raging like a wild sea in your heart and your mind. That's what's going on in the disciples right now. Can you imagine putting yourself in Peter's shoes? He said, I love you and I'll lay down my life for you. And in the front of everyone, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Can you imagine the trouble that pierced Peter's heart? Put yourself in his shoes. What would you be thinking right now? They were already sensitive in their hearts, because when he said that one of you shall betray me, in another gospel, we have them asking each other, is it me? So they were so sensitive at this moment. None of them were prideful at that moment. Everyone thought, maybe I'm going to betray the Lord. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You ever felt as though, well, undeserving of God's love and mercy and care? Felt guilty, remorse, ashamed of what you're doing or done. The disciples' hearts were greatly troubled. But the Lord would have them understand, the ministry that I'm calling you to, you're going to be dealing with the hearts and souls of men. So if you're going to minister to people, you need to share. You need to know something about a troubled heart, and you need to know how you can heal it. You need to know what you need to do to heal yourself of a broken heart or a troubled heart. So I'm going to let you experience a troubled heart, and then I'm going to show you how you can heal it. The only way you can. The only remedy for a troubled heart is faith. Look at John 14:1. Let's look at these words closely. It's kind of, you know, break it up a little bit. Listen to this. Let not your heart be troubled, full of anxiety, fear, doubt, despair. Ye believe. You see how he starts that? Ye believe in God. You see what he starts with? Faith, like all things concerning God and the true believer, faith has to be the very foundation and stronghold against the troubled heart. Faith is what we need more of. You believe in God. That's where you got to start. I've said it often, and I don't tire or weary in saying it. When we find ourselves with a troubled heart or any kind of perplexed situation, never start with your situation. Always start with God. If we look at the situation first, like Peter with the waves, they get bigger and stronger and worse and terrifying. Don't look at your situation. Start with God. As long as Peter's eyes were on Christ, the waves were no danger, no threat. So Christ teaches us a very important lesson here. He admits that you're going to have troubled hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe. That's where it starts. That's the very stronghold of it. For faith, Hebrews 11 said, faith is the substance. That's assurance, the confidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or conviction of things not seen. That's what faith is. Faith rises above logic and reason. Do you know that? I hope we're all aware of that as believers. When we begin to try to reason or logic our situation, we get more confused and more troubled. Can you imagine what Peter was trying to do? What do you mean I'm going to deny him three times? Why would I? I would never do that. And the disciples, what does he mean we're all going to forsake him? Where's he going? They were thinking, what are we going to do without him? They've walked with him for 3 years. They've seen his miracles. They've heard his sermons. They've seen his love and his mercy, his compassion, his jealousy, and his zeal for God. And they're wondering, what are we going to do without Christ? Where's he going? I know it's not the same, but I remember raising kids and realizing the day they were leaving the home or leaving the house, and it would just be my wife and I, and it's like, well, what do you do now? You know, that kind of fear and dismay, that little, where do we go from here? We spent all these years caring for our kids, and now, same thing with a loved one. When we lose one, sometimes we wonder, how do we go on from here? How do we go any further? What's the next step? These things are all going through their minds. What do you mean you're leaving us? You can't leave us. The Lord directs them to that first and greatest and most important thing they need to do. Never stop believing. You believe in God. The only remedy for a troubled heart is faith. The heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. None or who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is desperately wicked and deceivable and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who understands the heart? And when it's troubled, that is raging with doubt and fear and despair and disappointment, it's a most treacherous and deceitful thing. Don't trust your heart. That's what he's saying. You're troubled right now, and I put you there. Peter, you're questioning yourself. The disciples are questioning their faith. Judas is knowing he's the betrayer. You can't go with me, and all these things are troubling you. You got to believe. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. You got to believe. Faith. But I like how he phrases this, and I want us to see that, how he breaks that down in this verse. Watch how he goes further with this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Listen to this. Listen to these words. You believe in God. Believe also in me. If you stop for a minute and think, that's an amazing statement he's making. He's saying, I acknowledge that you believe in God, the Creator. I accept and see you have faith in God. But your faith has to go a little bit further, and it also has to be in me. You remember Sunday school students? All throughout the book of John, he's trying to prove to them that he's equal with the Father. Remember that? And the Pharisees and Sadducees had a hard time with that and wanted to kill him for it. You're making yourself equal with it. He's saying this to the disciples. You have to believe, yes, you believe in God, but you have to believe that I'm equal with the Father. I am God. You have to believe that I'm God. Let me ask you a question. Hypothetically saying this. But if you were standing right next to God in your most deepest trying difficult time in life, and you're standing right next to God, how do you think you'd feel knowing he's God? Well, you'd feel pretty confident, wouldn't you? It's like that kid in the store. Remember when we took our kids to the stores and we get a little bit away from them, they'd grab our leg, wouldn't let go, and we'd be dragging them through the store because they're afraid. But when that kid's next to the parent, he's so confident and sure of what he is. Why? Because daddy or mommy's right there. And so there's that safety, that sense of safety and confidence. Well, faith does that and even more in our situations. David said it best in Psalms when he said, when I'm afraid, what times I'm afraid. He admitted, I get afraid. What times I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. So Christ says, your troubled hearts. You have to have faith in God, and you do. Believe ye in God. He says, you believe that. You believe in God. That's good. But believe also in me. Believe that I'm just as equal with God. But not only that, believe what I'm doing. Believe what my sacrifice is going to bring you. Believe in me as your mediator and your redeemer. Believe in me as your high priest and your prophet. Believe in my work of salvation. This is why I keep telling you we need to understand more about the doctrine of our Christian faith. What is Christ doing at the moment? For most Christians, well, he's in heaven and he's just waiting for me to get there. No, he's mediating on our behalf. Everything that we do and say, he's mediating. Every work that we do, he's mediating that in his blood to make it acceptable and pleasable before God. What's he doing? The Holy Spirit's helping us to pray. Romans 8, for we know not what we ought to pray as we ought. Christ is constantly working for us and in us. He's our prophet. He teaches us the word when we read it. He's our king. How far and what did Christ's sacrifice bring? What reconciliation did Christ obtain for us in salvation? How close are we to God? How reconciled are we with God? Will God ever hold me guilty for my sins? Most Christians right off the bat will say, no. Well, why do you believe that? Well, Christ died for me. Is that all you can say? Can you go further than that? Oh yeah, I can go over to Hebrews and talk about where He took the blood into the innermost, and now we have confidence and boldness. We can come before the throne of God because of what Christ did for us in salvation. You believe in God. That's good. Well, listen to the words. Believe also in me. Christ's salvation has brought us such a glorious fellowship and union with God that it's amazing that we're not even going to fathom it in this present life, let alone in eternity. And most Christians don't give the effort to find out more about that now. Simple, quick Bible reading, a quick devotion, and they go on with life. Most people spend more time doing their taxes than they do reading the Scriptures. If you want to know more about Christ, if you want to be stronger in faith, you've got to realize who your author and finisher is, and that's Christ. So you've got to, and I'm going to show you that verse in closing in a minute, you've got to learn more of Christ. So that's what the Lord's teaching His disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Know who I am. Know that I can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Do you know that verse in Hebrews? Do you know the truth of it? We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's acquainted with our griefs, according to Isaiah 53. He's acquainted with our griefs. When we're afflicted, He's afflicted. We're the apple of His eye, which is the most tender part of the body. Whoever afflicts you afflicts me, God said, because you're the apple of my eye. He can succour us, help us in our hour of need. He helps us when we're tempted. He comforts us in our sorrows. He understands our doubts and confusions. You believe in God, believe also in me. They had not yet known Christ in such a blessed way. Christ wanted them to hear that and experience that. So He personally troubled their hearts. You know what? I know that sometimes we don't believe that, but if you'll read Job even uses the same phrase. He said, God hath troubled me. And God loves us so much and cares for us so much, He alone teaches us such lessons. We couldn't learn that at the hands or mouth or knowledge of men, wisdom of men. There's no way. So God puts each of us oftentimes in a situation where our hearts are troubled. Why? So that we might learn this lesson. You know, if God doesn't move in our hearts, you know what happens to us? We get complacent. We get indifferent. We get content with what we have. I go to church. I read my Bible. I have a mediocre Christianity. That's not what's required. God says, I want you to know more about me. And because you won't give always the effort, I'm going to put you in situations to teach you things that otherwise you wouldn't learn. You wouldn't know. Some of those things might not be pleasant to the flesh. You might be caught by surprise at what you're capable of doing or saying. You ever been, and I'm sure you have, but you ever been humbled by your actions, your words? Maybe a harsh word on the job, maybe something you said that you shouldn't have, maybe something that you did that wasn't really outrageously sinful, but it wasn't right. You see how sometimes how easy it is to fall to the wayside. If you don't know and understand how easy it is to slip up, you're not trying to serve Christ, because you learn that real quick. But there's such valuable lessons out of that as well. Peter was our God. The Lord wasn't trying to destroy Peter's faith. As a matter of fact, over in Luke, He said, I prayed for your faith. The devil's seeking to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for your faith. Your faith. What's He doing here? You believe in God. Believe also in me. What's He doing? Faith is the key. But I pray for your faith. When you've been converted, not saved, that word converted in that text means strengthened in faith. When you've been strengthened, when you've been converted, strengthen your brethren.
Teach your brethren.
You know why God puts you and I in different situations? Sometimes we like to be ego about it, egotistic. It's not just for us. A lot of times it's for others. But it's always about Christ. Because it'll always teach us more about Christ. These disciples were fixing to go out and minister to the hearts and souls of men. They needed to be touched by a troubled heart. George Whitefield, I love reading about him. He was a Puritan preacher. Preached to 30,000 in open air and everybody could hear him. I don't know if you've ever tried to yell out in the open air. You got kids, you probably know what I'm talking about. Your voice just kind of gets lost in the air. He'd come to Georgia and preach in open air, no buildings. It was back in the 18th century. No buildings anywhere, open fields. He'd preach in open air and 30,000 people could hear him preach. Man, what a voice that guy must have had. He said, if you have a preacher that preaches a non-felt Christ, he shouldn't be in the pulpit. Preachers should preach a felt Christ. In other words, they should at least in somehow, some way, experience what they're preaching. And it applies also to our Christian lives. God puts you in situations, and I in situations, to teach us something so that we might show others. You lost someone, you can be a comfort to somebody else. Have you went through a heavy trial? God shows you how to get through it, you can teach it to somebody else. It's always about helping others, but always about Christ. So Christ is teaching his disciples, if you're going to be a good minister to souls, you have to learn this first. You know, we think that if we just memorize the scriptures, it's enough. And I've met a lot of people in my life that could quote scripture. I'm telling you, like that. Yet it just appears as though everything they're quoting means nothing to them. I've said this before, but you know sometimes it's a long way for this to get here. And God goes to this first. He wants us to understand something. And then he puts it in here. But sometimes this thing is just so desperately prideful. God has to break it before it could get from here to there. But when he does, it's wonderful. You've had troubled hearts. And so have I. Believe in God. But believe also in Christ and what he's done and what he's doing and who he is. Fall in love with the person, his work, his salvation, his redemption. I like what an old preacher said. As a Christian, you never leave the cross. You live and stay in the shadow of the cross. You never leave that. When you forget, when you begin to worry about things, what you need to do is take the old hymn we sing and survey that old wondrous cross. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, and begin looking at it and see the amazing love and mercy of God in that amazing, horrific scene of love, realize what Christ has done for you. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, Hebrews says. Christ. Which hope we have as for anchor for the soul. Why say anchor? What's an anchor do? An anchor holds a ship in the storm. Now the ship's going back and forth on top, right? But that anchor ain't moving. So it might look outwardly like we're being beat to death by that storm of doubt and fear and anxiety and despair, beating us back and forth. But if your anchor's holding, my anchor holds, my anchor holds. It's in Christ. Which endureth into that, which entereth into that veil, both sure and steadfast. Look over John chapter 14. I'm going to close this in two verses. John chapter 14, because I lost the clock behind the Bible. There it is. John chapter 14, verse 27. Same chapter. Again, he says that. You see how he's concerned about troubled hearts? Watch this. 14:27. Listen to this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Listen to this. There's two sorts of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm leaving peace with you. What's that peace? Therefore, having peace with God, being justified with God by faith, we now have peace with God. I'm leaving peace. You're justified before God. Oh, I'd love to spend a couple Sundays on that doctrine of justification. Justification is a legal declaration. You don't always feel justified before. What's justified means? You're justified. You're free of guilt. God will never hold you guilty. Never, ever hold you guilty for any sin. You're justified. Justified. Once and for all in Christ. Christ says, I'll leave you that peace of justification, but I'm going to give you something more. I'm going to give you my peace. Oh, the peace of God passeth all understanding, so you keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. Look over at Matthew. I'll close with this one. Matthew chapter 11. Thank you, Lord, for being concerned about our troubled hearts. Matthew chapter 11, well-known passage of Scripture. Listen to this. Here's our Lord. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That is not a one-time thing. That is an ever-learning thing. And it progresses as you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Learning of Christ. Learn of me. I'll give you rest. You see, Christ knows that his disciples are going to be facing a lot of disappointments. Why do you think about it? Why do you think he talked about betrayal with Judas? He said, you're going to be betrayed. And they were. You know, 11 out of 12 were martyred. John was put on an island. 11 out of 12 were martyred. Heads cut off, boiling oil, put in a log, cut asunder, all that kind of stuff. They were betrayed. Peter denied them. They were going to be denied by people. The disciples forsaken. They were going to be forsaken by people. They were going to be left alone. All those things were going to happen. The Lord said, that's why I'm telling you that now, because I want you to understand that the only way you're going to be able to see or have a healed heart and you're going to teach others that, you believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. We sing it so often, sometimes we don't think about the words, but faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Faith. The Lord said, when I come back to earth, when I come back, when I end up coming back to the earth, shall I find faith on the earth? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you. If I go away to prepare a place for you, I'll come back that you may be with me. That where I am, you may be. Amen. I will come back. He's coming back. Amen? And if you don't come back, if natural death takes place, I'm 1 year closer to meeting him. So, yeah. Being 60 is not bad. Yeah. Just tell my body that. But anyway, don't lose faith. Remember, if you forget anything this morning, don't forget this. Like the Lord's teaching us, whenever you find yourself with a troubled heart, don't start with your troubles. They will overwhelm you. Start with God. Who is He? What's He capable of? What's He mean to me? What's He done for me? What He's doing for me? What awaits me? And when you begin that, you know what happens to your problems? They're still there, but they get a little bit smaller and a little bit insignificant. And you're able to meet them and go through them. Amen. You'll defeat them. They won't defeat you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that you're concerned about our troubled hearts. For Lord, you yourself was troubled. In this Gospels, A few times it mentions that you were troubled in spirit. Lord, you know what afflictions we're facing. You went through them without sin. You know what weaknesses we have. You know what fear and anxiety is because you had it without sin. So Lord, when we're afraid, Lord, when we're in despair, when we don't know what to do or where to go, when our hearts are just raging with trouble, we pray, Lord, that our faith would return to John 14 and we would hear the words of our beloved Savior, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Oh, Lord, we pray that you keep us. Lord, guide us now. Bless the fellowship. Bless all these families who are traveling today. Give them traveling mercies. Lord, watch over Sister Nell, who's ill today. Keep her safe, we pray. We love you and thank you for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, bless you. Here's your watch, honey. Yep. Hate for you not to be with any kind.
I tell you what. Yeah, it gets better. It doesn't really go from the mouth, okay?
It kind of reminds you, don't it?
Anyway.